Are these words hard for you to hear? They're hard to preach. They're hard to preach. I'd love to tell you that he's got the whole world in his hands. I know he does. I know he does. But he will not stop you from walking away. He won't stop our kids from walking away. He won't stop our loved ones from walking away, even though we wish he would. We wish he would. These are hard words. Now, what is the background of Jesus? Well, coming in here to chapter 6, we know the story of the feeding of the 10, 15,000, 5,000 men, women and children, feeding of the 15,000. Now, before that time, Jesus had been wandering around Lake Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee, same thing. And he's been driving out demons. That must be something to see. That would be so cool to do something like that. So he's been driving out demons, and he's been preaching. And he has been healing people of their sicknesses. Blind men can see, lame men can walk. And Jesus was a rock star. People wanted to be with Jesus. You remember Forrest Gump? Remember him running through the desert? Remember about how people just joined him, began running after him? That's what it was to be with. It's like the Beatles after the Ed Sullivan show. Y'all don't even know what that is. Y'all don't even know what that is. I'm going to have to work on my illustrations. I mean, everybody was following Jesus. He's the most popular guy in town. They follow him out in the wilderness when there wasn't any food. Then he feeds them, and they sure enough follow him from now on. There is no free lunch unless you're following Jesus. But Jesus didn't come to be a magician, you see. Jesus didn't come to have a magic show. Jesus didn't come to be a physician of men's bodies only. Jesus didn't come for that. Jesus didn't come to provide fast food for the multitudes. Jesus had a greater message than that. And here at the end of this rock star time, what is called the pastoral ministry of Jesus, he swivels on his heels and he turns back to them. And he says this most offensive phrase. So offensive that it was very, very difficult for the people who heard it. It was one of those hard sayings. Notice with me verse 53 of chapter 6, the Gospel of John. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." Oh, Jesus, leave that alone. I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, I don't get it, but I don't like it. I don't want to hear it. And he just bears down. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I have because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while still teaching in the synagogues in Capernaum. Remember how they responded. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And they walked away from Jesus. They walked away from Jesus. I mean, he cleared the room with that sermon. There is nothing that anybody wanted to hear less than the message that Jesus had just shared. It was graphic. It was R-rated. He served the people food, but he himself was the bread that came down from heaven that only helps you if you eat it. If you eat it. We're to partake of the Lord's Supper. You understand that that is what we do. Right? You know why we have the Lord's Supper? John chapter 6. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. The bread of God came down in the form of Jesus. Unless you eat that body and drink that blood, you will have no part of it. No part of him. And it's a hard statement. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as the Father has ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. This difficult statement is described in the Greek as hard. And that word in Greek means rough. Hard, dried, rubbing against the skin, abrasive, and offensive. That's what these hard statements are. That's what they do. And that's why it's hard to build great churches preaching hard sermons. And that's because we're not trained to hear such things. We're not trained to hear it at all. And we'll go somewhere where it's good. We'll go somewhere where there are no hard sermons. They said to each other, who can listen to this? They looked at each other and they said, I'm out of here. Who can listen to this? It was now time to reveal his precise identity and the one thing he came to accomplish. He was the bread of life that came down of heaven. And he would have to die soon. It isn't long after this that Jesus turns his face against the Sea of Galilee and begins his walk towards Jerusalem. And it's at Jerusalem that he will find the end of his life. We celebrate next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. But Friday has to happen first. Friday has to happen first. Before we can have an Easter, Friday has to happen. One of the greatest sermons preached in the 20th century was a sermon that was called, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Ever heard that sermon? It's one of the greatest you'll ever hear. Look it up. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Praise God, Sunday's coming. Resurrection. Sunday. We will break all kinds of records next Sunday. Let it hail. Let it storm. Let there be mudslides. Let the preacher fall and break his back. Let any of those things happen, and we're still going to pack the house on Easter morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because while it's Friday, Sunday's coming. The most loving words in the Bible, John 3:16. The most loving passage in the Bible is clear in what it says, but hear this. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. Here comes the hard part. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The most loving passage in all of Scripture still has contained within it, believe in me or perish. You believes in me shall not perish. But believing is a prerequisite. We can't live in a fantasy world where all roads lead to heaven, because they don't. The hard message is a simple message, really. I'd like to live in a fantasy world, I just don't get to. I'd like to think that I have millions of dollars in my bank account. Have you ever driven down the road and seen the lottery sign? You know you have. Don't go like, I don't even think about the lottery. I'm a Christian. I don't even think about such things. You know you have. Standing there driving by, honey, look at that. What would you do? Do you do that? I know you do. I know you do. And the first thing, well, I'd give it to the Lord. I say, I'm going to have to pull over and stop, because when the lightning hits, we're going to be in big trouble. I've got to pull this thing over. So what would you do? And we talk about it. And if you talk about it for more than a half hour, it becomes real. And it doesn't matter how much money you got. By the end of your half hour talk, it's not enough. You know, if we just made a few hundred more million, then we could really live. Then we could really live. I love to live in that fantasy world, but I better not act like it, or else I'm going to bounce checks. The police are going to come to my door. It is a fantasy world that says that all roads lead to heaven, because it's just not true. It's just not true. And the reason that it's not true is because the world religions themselves don't agree with each other. World religions themselves don't agree that all roads lead to heaven. He's the only way to God, and that's my Lord. Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only good news we have, and the feel-good preachers of the day still must preach the reality and the truth of the exclusive nature of what Christianity is. The problem here in John chapter 6 is the people didn't feel good anymore. And they looked to Jesus and they said, don't tell me the truth. Not anymore. Don't tell me the truth anymore, because it feels bad. It causes pain. It makes me choose. In verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh that is a physical body profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And it's interesting what John says in verse 64. It's interesting what Jesus says. He says, do you know why some people fall away? Some people fall away because they never were saved. Some people never fell away because they were never in. They were never in. Is it possible to be baptized and still not be saved? Go like this. Of course it is. Of course it is. It's absolutely possible. When I was a baby, my parents told me that I got baptized. Now, my parents never went to church. Never went to church. So this must have been an off day. I don't know what happened to them. It might have been a Easter. Somebody talked him into it. I don't know what happened, but kicking and screaming, they took little Jeffrey to church. And here I am making noise, bothering everybody, wetting my diaper in the middle of this whole thing going on. And then somehow in the middle of it, the priest or rabbi, I don't know who it was, came forward and said, oh, we're baptizing now. And my mother brought me, you know, and put me in the hands of some guy that put water on my head. I'm sure I screamed about it. I'm sure it made my mother feel good, but my dad was probably drunk, so I don't know that it made him feel good at all. But there did come a time in my life when I had heard about Jesus finally for the first time in my life, and I decided to be a Christian. It was the greatest moment of my life when I came out of those waters of baptism. Every molecule in my body was smiling. It was my life's desire. It was my hope and my dream. And Jesus was my Savior, not just something that is said when you stub your toe. Jesus was everything to me then. You see, I was baptized as an infant, but I was never saved by that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever thought about being rebaptized? Have you ever heard that phrase? They're getting rebaptized. Well, it's kind of a play on words, isn't it? It's kind of a play on words. But I want you to think about this. I want you to consider very deeply and very carefully whether your baptism was scriptural. Because I would have you baptized. Of all the things on earth that you can suffer to not know about, it's not your salvation. You understand what I'm saying? Of all the things in the world you can be unsure about, you and Jesus can't be one of them. Can't be one of them. They didn't lose their salvation because they never had it to begin with. So I wonder this morning during the hard sayings of Jesus if you understand that we don't live in a fantasy world and that sin destroys and that it is up to you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It is up to you to renounce your sin, claim it, understand that you are a sinful person by your very nature. Confessing that, it is time for you to say, and I'm tired of walking away from God. I'm going to walk toward God. For the first time in my life, I'm going to walk towards God. And then you must be baptized into Christ. For it is that which washes your sins away. Are you still in the process of deciding about Jesus? Well, then don't be asking the question about whether he feels good or not. If this sermon has driven you away this morning, if you walked in here feeling good but you've heard some hard things, some hard sailing, don't let this sermon stop you from doing what you know you must do. Ask the question, not was it hard, but was it true? Was it true? Because in this preacher's lives, some of the most true things I've ever heard were hard to hear. Were hard to hear. Who else has died for you this morning? Who else has died for you this morning? 1995, a guy by the name of Randy Reed, 34-year-old construction worker, was welding the top of a nearly completed water tower. And he was safety harnessed, but he had a tool that was on a nearby scaffold, and he unhooked the safety harness so that he could reach over there and get that tool. And when he did, the scaffolding actually moved towards him and knocked him off the tower. And he fell 115 feet, face down, in a pile of dirt. He said, ouch. He said, ouch, and then he said that his back hurt. When the paramedics arrived, they strapped him to a board, and they carried that board, and they put it inside of the ambulance, but not before Randy Reed looked to the guy carrying him on the board and said, don't drop me. I don't even know what this story means, but I sure like it. I sure like it. Well, the deal is, any damage that could have been done from being dropped from 4 feet had nothing to do with the 115 feet that he had dropped, and he walked away with nothing more than a bruised lung. Consider it. Consider a hard sermon that produces a grace-filled decision.
Are you a Christian? Have you accepted Jesus into your life? Not as your consultant, but as your king. If you're not sure that you have, I want you to know one thing. There is no heaven outside of Jesus. There is no salvation outside of His church. And while that flies in the face of everything tolerant, it is the truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. The love verse of the Bible tells it, and tells it hard. If you're not sure that you are a Christian, make sure this morning, as together we stand and as we sing.